eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On this episode of the Heat Check, is it mea culpa day? Mea culpa day? It must be, because I must walk back my take on Brandon Miller, Trae Young, and bust face Cade Cunningham. What in the name of tarnation is going on? Also, way too much time in Portland, who are currently getting waxed as I speak by a 14-win team, the Charlotte Hornets. So we must get this team in order. We get into that as well as the latest Doc Rivers shit-talking and some news from around the league. Let's get right into it, Anthony, before my migraine comes back. Drop that motherfucking beat. It should be Rihanna. Oh, we got a lot to get into. But before we do, we got to do a little bit of a wellness check on my guy, Anthony Irwin. Check out his podcast, also Lakers Lounge. Are you okay, Anthony?
No.
My producer? Are you okay?
Nope.
Anthony, are you okay?
Nope.
Are you okay, Anthony?
Nope.
He tweeted today that Darvin Ham, head coach of the Lakers, was the worst coach he'd ever seen in his life as a Lakers fan, including Byron Scott, who was, I think, taking the cake until today. Surely not worse than Luke Walton, right? That's what I said. Oh, baby, he said yes, considering the expectations. Shit is not going well in La La Land. Let's dig into that in the coming week, but for now, I hate to start another episode with some Doc Rivers slander, but God damn it, the excuse tour continues. It's like fucking the era's Taylor Swift tour now. It just goes from country to country, from city to city. You know which hits he's going to play. It's going to be Bad Blood first. And then it's, I don't even know. I don't know the songs well enough to go through the fake Doc Rivers era's tour, but it doesn't ever seem to end, okay? Last week, we got the entire J.J. Redick brouhaha. It was J.J. Redick against the world. Doc Rivers got called out for throwing players under the bus as his MO, and if you thought that that was the end on that, well, he returned to Philly on Sunday, and let's just say the excuses continued as his tenure as the Sixers coach. This is what he said: I just wish we could have gone further. I just wish I could have had the chance to have Joel healthy in the playoffs. Oh my God. But you know, when I took this job here, I think we had gotten swept the year before in the first round. That regular season, the next year, we won the East, lost to Atlanta, which I would have loved to have that one back as a group. But overall, Joel did become an MVP. We established this team as a championship contender, and that wasn't said the year before. Excuse me. Excuse me, can back here from the cheap seats. Excuse me, Glenn. You do realize that Brett Brown went as far as you did in the playoffs twice in the previous 2 years? He had 2 50-plus win seasons. I think Doc Rivers likes to just make shit up. By the way, real quick, remember that famous quote where everyone was hammering Doc Rivers about his slipping away 3-1 leads, and then he was talking about, oh yeah, we lost to the team that won the title, the Detroit Pistons. By the way, the Orlando Magic team, did you see who's on that roster? Did you see? By the way, by that point, the Detroit Pistons hadn't won shit yet. They hadn't done a goddamn thing at that point. They went on to win the next year. I saw that and I did a little math score and I'm like, that's not being talked about enough. Better yet, when asked how he blew the series against the Boston Celtics while up 3-2, he said, honestly, I haven't thought about it much since. I mean, maybe they were better. Could that be a possibility? That's probably why you picked them, right? That's one reason. I thought game 6 was our game. I didn't think Joel got the ball enough. Oh, my God. Trust me, it was for him to get it, and he didn't get it. And I don't know how healthy he was. All right, let's count the excuses in that paragraph. Maybe they were better. That's why. That's one. Thought game 6 was our game, and Joel didn't get the ball enough. That's two. Trust me, it was for him to get it, and he didn't get it. Three. Number 4, I don't know how healthy he is. That's fucking impressive. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 lines and 4 excuses. That's 1.25 excuses per line. 0.75 excuses per line. You know, whatever, okay? Either way, fucking impressive. And if you thought he was done saying dumb shit, you don't know Doc Glenn Rivers. By the way, Joel shot the ball 20 times in Game 6 and 19 times in Game 7. In fact, the only game in the entire series he shot more than he did in Game 6 when he had 23 shots in Game 5. What the fuck are you talking about, Doc? Do you even keep receipts? Doc said this about his 3-7 start to his Bucks coaching career. Man, here we go. Taking a job when you're about to go on the toughest road trip of the season is not the smartest decision. I even told them that. Can we just wait till All-Star break? You know, when there's like a third of a season left, that would have been a lot nicer. Are we serious? Is this for real? I mean, the dude came after Adrian Griffin's job the entire season and was like, whoa, can we wait till after the All-Star break? I know I fucking put his head on the spike for y'all. Can you guys use Joe Prunty again for the interim job until, I don't know, I get to play golfing after the All-Star break? Are we fucking for real? Get all the way out of here with this. Get all the way out of here with this. Interestingly, the Bucks had a get-right game against the Sixers on Sunday. Because why? Because they have nobody. They blew their doors off in what was their best victory of the Doc Rivers era. But again, Sixers without Embiid are fucking trash. They'll probably right the ship enough to get the 2 seed in the East. I don't know about that. That will make the inevitable flame out, though, in the postseason that much more sweet, that much more predictable. And guess what? And guess what? And guess what? I bet you, folks, it's the Sixers that take them out, too, just to make that fucking better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, let's move on. Getting a little hyped up with my migraine. I don't love having to say this, but there comes a time when a woman has to stand on her statements and admit maybe she was wrong. Today, that girl is me. Gives me no pleasure to issue a mea culpa. Deep breath. Woosah. Here it is. Been talking about it, been thinking about it. I even mentioned it before on the podcast, whispering. I think I'm going to say it with a little more bass in my voice. I think I might have been wrong about Brandon Miller. Okay. I think I might have been wrong about Brandon Miller, but he is in a losing situation. And he's not asked to run a team. And how many of his buckets lead to winning? I don't want to say it. Anyways, he's been pretty good. He's been pretty good in his rookie year. I was dead certain that he was a baby deer with no legs and no hips. I was dead certain that his game would not translate to the NBA level. But as it turns out, I might have been wrong about that. Turns out you go to the Charlotte Hornets, you can put up 35 on any given night when everybody's allowing you to score 120. Is it a mea culpa? I don't know yet. All I'll say is he's playing well. Brandon Miller is balling the fuck out in Charlotte right now. That's true. All those early season mistakes that he had where he looked like a fucking deer in headlights, not making anywhere near as many of those anymore. No LaMelo Ball right now. Just want to say. He's playing so well that friend of show Tony Jones had this to say. I think Brandon Miller is the best player on the roster despite LaMelo Ball's counting stats being superior to Miller's. When I watch Miller play, I see a younger version of Paul George. As controversial as this would sound, I would trade Ball and build around Miller. And I'm sorry, what? Tony Jones? I at first thought it was Tim Bontemps, but Tony Jones knows Ball, bro. And I'm not sure if Tony Jones is smoking crack. I don't think he's smoking crack. I love Tony Jones. But that take is fucking wild. And I know LaMelo Ball isn't on the court. I know that. He's played 184 games in his first four seasons, 63% of the available Hornets games. That's very bad. But can you only have one good player on a team that has 14 wins? I don't know if that's a recipe for success. By the way, I tell you what, here's the thing. Paul George is his absolute ceiling. Absolute ceiling. He has specifically come out and said, Paul George, by the way, I am not a 1A. I am absolutely not a 1A. Everyone knows this. In fact, he had to leave Indiana because he couldn't get Anthony Davis to go there, who may or may not be a 1A. And so he then had to go to, I don't know what that was. He then had to go to OKC, play with Russell Westbrook, still not enough to get a win. Dame Lillard famously ended that franchise's run until they had to rebuild. Then he has to go to L.A. to play with Kawhi, and then that's not enough. So they had to trade for Harden, a guy who can score and pass similarly to LaMelo Ball. And if you're worried about LaMelo Ball and his injury issues, do you think other teams might be worried about LaMelo Ball and his injury issues? Just what a fucking wild take. Stay off the internet, folks. Stay off the internet. That was one of the craziest things I saw all day. I didn't even realize that it was friend of show Tony Jones. We're going to have to talk about that. There are plenty of players like Brandon Miller who can play with a guard that can score and pass like LaMelo Ball. That's like kind of the thing, right? Tyrese Halliburton, point guard who can pass and can score. Goes with the wing. I don't know. OG Anunoby, Jalen Brunson, OG. If your absolute ceiling is Paul George and he's not a 1A, why are you trading your point guard? If you're worried about his injuries, I think other teams are worried about his injuries. Anyway, I asked this on Twitter, but I'll put it to you here. Do you know of any player that missed significant time in their first 4 years, which is 20% or more of their available games, who then went on to be a reliable starter the rest of their career? I am drawing a blank. A lot of people said Steph Curry, because he missed a lot of games in his third season, but he played over 95% of his available games in 7 of his first 8 years. Others said Stephon Marbury, who could never get over the injury bug until he got to China, although he did miss 2 games in 2.5 seasons in Phoenix. You could also point to Ilgauskas, who missed a ton of times in his first season before becoming a reliable starter over his next 6 years. But he's not what we would call some sort of star player. You'd have to go all the way back to Ron Harper of the Bulls dynasty to find an impact player who snake bitten and became reliable. Harper missed 40% of his available games in 4 of his first 6 seasons before missing only 22 games in his next 7 years. My point in bringing this up is, pull the ripcord on Zion, though. I think we should kind of be worried about LaMelo Ball. I'm not sure if he's going to be long-term healthy. I don't know that he's, if you can trade him now, given the fact that he's been injured pretty much all year. I like Brandon Miller. I do. I like P.J. Washington, he's gone. I like Terry Rozier, he's gone. I like Gordon Hayward, he's gone. It can't just be Brandon Miller and fucking Nick Smith, okay? Like, I'm sorry. It can't just be those two. You can't be hoping that you're going to get something out of Mark Williams someday. In his last 12 games, Miller's averaging 22-5-3 with 2.7 stocks per game. He's playing pretty good defense right now. Big knock against him earlier this year was his defense. Better yet, though, are his shooting splits, 46, 40, and 87. But it's his 40% from three that's just very eye-popping. His first 10 games this season, he shot under 26% from deep. And guess what? I was screaming. I was yelling, yeah! But as a Blazer fan, I should have known. Whoever picks before or after us will get the player that's good. And we won't. When you toss out those first 10 games, though, Brandon Miller is hitting 44% from three for the season. Golly. What a matchup nightmare. 6'7", 7'2 wingspan, 1 inch shorter than Kawhi Leonard, finesse touch around the rim. Hips are moving like Shakira. His hips are not lying right now, folks. He doesn't have the greatest handles. He has decent on-court awareness. But listen, folks, he is on a team with 14 wins. Can you tell I'm struggling with this, mea culpa? Because I can tell. I'm like going back and forth, devil on my shoulder, angel. He's on a 14-win team, Trista. He's not leading the team, Trista. He's not the point guard, Trista. They're covering up all of his deficiencies, Trista. He is fucking balling, though, Trista. He really is. He needs to improve getting to the line. He averages just 2 free throws per game. He should probably get 5, 6, 7, 8. In terms of his size. He's an excellent free throw shooter, though. He needs to cut back on his turnovers, but he's a rookie. And he's got size, he's got length, and he's playing a lot better than Paul George did his rookie fucking year. I tell you what. And he's shown glimpses of what could be in Charlotte. He had 35-6 against Indy. He had 5 for 12 from deep, 10 for 12 from the line. He should really get to the line like 10 times a game. 33-4-3 the next night against the Lakers. 5 steals, 2 blocks in those games, only 3 turnovers. That would put him on the Wheaties box, folks. That would give him his own signature shoe. He is not doing this in any games that matter, and as the team just recently blew up the roster, a lot of those possessions came his way out of necessity. All of this brings up a couple of questions. Is it unreasonable for the Hornets to consider moving on from LaMelo while he's healthy? Yes. Should they build around Brandon Miller? Yes. Both things can be true, folks. Both things can be true. LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller are like peas and carrots. I don't know why you would trade one. I don't get it. You can have... That's why they didn't draft Scoot. That was the whole problem. Can't have Scoot and LaMelo. I'm sorry. The whole reason they drafted Brandon Miller was for him to coexist with LaMelo. This is a good thing, folks. Tony, what are we doing? Second and more personal for me, would I take Brandon Miller over Scoot? I am still thinking about that. I will get back to you. I don't think so. An elite point guard is like a unicorn. Almost none of them have great rookie years. Damian Lillard was the unicorn of unicorns. He also was a four-year player in the NBA, in the college ranks at Weber State with an NBA with the foot injury in college. I think Scoot's going to be a star. But the fact that I paused, and you heard me pause, says a lot about how good Brandon Miller's been. So yeah, for the record, maybe, could have been, possibly, jury's still out on whether I was wrong on Brandon.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Since we are in the trust tree here, we'll move on. I should probably get this off my chest as well. Trae Young, who I have constantly, nightly called the most overrated star player in the NBA, is having quite a year. Quite a year. Which is why the latest news is such a bummer. Shams dropped this on Sunday. Atlanta Hawks say all-star Trae Young will undergo surgery to repair a ligament tear in the fifth finger of the left hand and will be reevaluated in 4 weeks, which would put him on March 25th, right before the playoff start. And I would guess that means out for the year. He has had a nice season, though. Despite the fact that the Hawks are sinking like a boat anchor, they will not be in the playoffs. Despite the fact that all season there have been trade rumors surrounding him and DeJounte Murray, he put up 26-3-11 this season on 43-37-86 shooting splits. Remember in the beginning of the year, he was shooting like 27% from three? Holy shit. In one 10-game stretch in December, he averaged 31-4-13, 44% from three. Ooh. But I tell you what, it's not that, because he's been doing that. And I've been talking shit about that. It's the defense, baby. It has caused me to relent on the Trae Young bashing. He's gone from a consensus cone, worst defender in the league, to pretty good player, net neutral, which is no small feat. Damian Lillard couldn't do it, and he's a lot bigger. He's done this by being opportunistic. He's averaging 1.4 steals per game. He started the season with 18 out of the first 20 games getting a steal or more. But his ability to get around screens and Quinn Snyder's drop defense has been eye-opening this year. He has drawn 30 offensive fouls this year, 6 more than anyone on the Hawks. He is just taking charges, folks. Woo-wee! like his name was the Trump Golds. He's also good for sixth in the entire NBA behind Trey Jones, Tim Hardaway, Lou Dort, Kobe White, and Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, by the way, leading the entire NBA with 59 drawn offensive foul calls. And yes, I had to look up every team in the NBA to get these stats for you. That's how much I love y'all. That combined with the fact that he's eighth in the NBA in steals means he is no longer the cone that he used to be. A side note to this, Trae Young draws 6.5 fouls per game on offense, fifth in the NBA. So he draws fouls and gets opponent players to commit offensive fouls. That is valuable. His defensive rating is 123.3 this year, which is the worst of his career. But the team, to be honest, fucking stinks. And that is more to do with those players around him on this terrible Hawks team than anything else. So Trae Young, I'm sorry. I am sorry. So it kind of sucks when I can finally watch Trae Young play without wanting to throw my remote through the TV. He gets hurt, probably decides I just want to be done with the season because it's been awful. There are already conspiracy theories floating around that he's sitting out because he wants to play with Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, and the Hawks desperately need some first-round picks since the Spurs have two this first year in the lottery. Trae and Victor could be the key to success in San Antonio. As it is, I am relieved to not be on the Trae Young hate train anymore. It's hard out here on the Trae Young hate train. That thing, you feel like sometimes you're on the Trae Young hate train tracks more than the train. You know what I mean? You're just like, help me. He has like 19 assists in a game. You're like, he sucks. Tell you what, it's exhausting. Anyway, got some news from around the league to get to, starting with something in the water because everyone and their mom is throwing down. And I don't mean dunks. I mean blows. I mean everyone seems to be fighting, folks. Just this weekend, we got Isaiah Stewart going Tommy Hearns in the locker room before games. Dennis Schroeder going after Mike Conley. Mike Conley, who has gone 17 years without a single technical, for hitting a meaningless three as time expires. But the real fireworks took place in Miami, where everybody got suspended. The Heat and the Pelicans staged WrestleMania, NBA style. It started when Zion went up for a dunk. Kevin Love fouled him hard. Good for you, Kevin. Now, keep in mind, after the game, Zion said that he thought Love was actually catching him to avoid him getting injured, so that was hard to see in the moment. Najee Marshall ran into Zion's aid. Jimmy Butler decided to play the Great Wall of China, and Najee was having none of that shit. He reached out and grabbed Butler by the throat. Throat, folks. By the Adam's apple. And then all hell broke loose because you can't come after Jimmy, especially when it's the Miami Heat. They're coming after everyone. Thomas Bryant came out swinging. Good for you. Jose Alvarado's just jabbing and moving his head, trying to get out of the way, because Thomas Bryant v. Jose Alvarado, not good for Jose Alvarado. It ended with all four players, Butler, Marshall, Bryant, and Alvarado, all getting ejected. Oh, baby, now we got bad blood. Those four and Nikola Jokic, as well, were suspended a game and fined, but Jimmy seemed to take it in stride. He posted a photo of Akon's "I'm locked up, they won't let me out, no," as well as the Bad Boys movie poster with his and Jovich's face transposed on it. Miami getting spicy at the right time to turn their season around. And the fact that Jimmy is willing to go after a dog like Najee Marshall, that is a good sign if you're a Heat fan. Just in time to knock the Boston Celtics out of the playoffs, if you ask me. Moving on. More mea culpa. Cade Bustface Cunningham doing his best Brandon Miller impression, getting buckets on a terrible team, getting pissed he's not getting the player calls that his player of a caliber. Let me try that again. He is pissed he's not been getting the calls a player of his caliber usually gets. Sometimes you just write things and they're hard to say. In the 10 games before he got injured on January 7th, could have been a good joke there if it was a day earlier, and subsequently missed 10 games, he was 29-4-8, putting up 29-4-8 on 53-37-85 shooting splits with 1.8 stocks per game. Pretty damn good for a team that Monty Williams is hellbent to sabotage this year. No reason why, which we'll talk about at some point. The problem is, why? Cade ain't getting no calls. When asked why, he said this. I take pride in being a good basketball player. I don't take pride in the fact that I can't get to the line. I'm trying to get there. I'm watching the stuff, trying to learn. I have to stop bitching and crying. I feel like that's making them not want to look out for me. I don't know what it is. Maybe I need to be nicer. Maybe I need to kiss someone's ass. I don't know what it is. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it. I know what it is. It's called playing for the Detroit Pistons. You're not going to get calls playing for a team that might be the worst team in NBA history. I'm sorry. You're big. You go into the rack. You're not a great shooter. And listen, no one's looking out for the Detroit Pistons. No one. I looked into it, though. There might be something to what he says. In the last two games, he's played 62 minutes. Shot 24 for 41. 8 for 16 from deep. Wow, good for you. And shot exactly 0 free throws. 0 free throws in 62 minutes? This was against Indiana and Orlando, and you cannot tell me they're playing clean defense, okay? Nobody's hitting him on the arm. Not one time. No one's giving a little jab in the back. No one's pulling on his jersey. No one. Scott Foster. I looked through his game log and saw that he's played 46 games this year, and he has shot 5 or fewer free throws 32 times. Five or less free throws 32 times? There's only 16 players in the NBA that have a higher usage rate than Cade's 30%, which is also, by the way, on its own fucking bonkers. And those, only one player, Kyle Kuzma, goes to the line less. And guess what? It's the Wizards! Okay, listen. Bottom of the standings, no calls. Top of the standings, all the calls, okay? That's the way it goes. The rest of the list is getting 25% or more free throws than he is. So yeah, he has a legit beat, but again, get off the Pistons. Damn. Here's me out here stumping for Brandon Miller, Trey Young, and Cade Cunningham in the same episode. You will never get it again. A couple of small stories and we're out of here because it's Sunday and I have a headache. First, Steve Kerr. He finally got his money, baby. That Monty Williams getting $20 million a year and ending up with 4 wins on the year. I think they have 8. $17.5 million per year for Steve. 2-year extension, making him the highest paid coach in league history. I gotta say, he deserves it. He's been putting up a trauma. Some of it's self-inflicted. That whole Kuminga thing. A lot of it in the Moody thing. Draymond thing's been inflicted by Draymond and Clay. Clay being, let's be honest, like a little bit of a pansy taking his role. But whatever. It's all said and done. They're figuring it out. They're just a 9 seed. But this assures that for most of the rest of Steph's contract that he's going to have a coach that he knows. Okay, Steph doesn't have to worry about figuring out a new mind to deal with. And I tell you what, things could have gone off the rails fast if Steve Kerr didn't get his extension. He goes, maybe everybody goes. I really thought when Bob Myers hit the parachute button that Kerr might follow suit, but I am happy to say that he'll be there another 2 years, which coincidentally runs out when Greg Popovich turns 78. Things that make you go, Finally, it's one of my favorite times of the year, 10-day God time, when G-Leaguers and other hopefuls get their 10-day chance to make it in the league. It's where eagle-eyed fans get to learn about the Blazers' Ibu Baji, the 7-1 center from Senegal. Remember, that was our boy Drew Eubanks, 10-day God, or Darius Days, the small forward out of Houston. Both of them just signed 10 days. For most of these dudes, it's a year or two of 10 days, then off to Europe or Asia, than to continue their basketball journey somewhere else. For others, like Admiral Schofield, who has been on 10 days in 2 ways every single 10-day span since 2019. Check your watch. Or Justice Winslow and Taj Gibson and Justin Jackson. It may be a way to get back into the league. And for a handful, like my guy, Duop Reith, who went from a 10-day, or Drew Eubanks, to a 3-year contract. Blazers be pumping out those 10-day gods, don't they? They took a chance and impressed the powers that be. Which is why I'm going to have my eyes peeled for guys like Ashton Hagans. Man, those Blazers. They love their 10-day guys. We fucking stink. DJ Carton, who signed a 10-day with the Raptors. Raptors also love their 10-day gods. Pete Nance, who followed in his dad and brother's footsteps by signing a 10-day with the Cavs. We then get a glimpse at some of the NCAA heroes like Tosun Iwoma out of Princeton, who signed a 10-day with the Pistons. Come on, Pistons. Or Muhammadu Gay, who signed his 10-day with the Raptors, again, after a standout career at Pitt. Raptors, Blazers, Pistons. If you're getting 10-day contracts, it's not, most likely, with the Nuggets. Just do not confuse him with Hawks rookie Muhammad Gay, who signed a 4-year deal with Atlanta in July. But I do think that it's awesome that these guys get a chance at the end of the season to figure out whether they need run in the NBA level or whether they're getting spit out, chewed out, back to the EuroLeague. I love it the same way I love expanded rosters in MLB in September. For a lot of these dudes, it's the only time they're going to play under the big lights. Some of their lights are big. The Moda Center right now, I'm not sure. There's booze at the Moda Center right now. They made it to the dance. So many others never did. And as I said, a few, like owner op Bitim, who had his 10-day converted into a standard multi-year contract, can use this as a springboard to a nice NBA career. Those 10-day gods, shout out to them, support them, and get a jersey for them. We'll see what happens moving forward. That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back for an all-new episode, The Rookie Report, and check out the feed for past episodes and mini-episodes, which drop unexpectedly like cobwebs in a dusty basement. By the way, Brandon Miller's not getting another Rookie Report the rest of the season. We gave him his own fucking segment. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we finish out our regular season. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. Even that bitch sitting next to you at the Bill Burr concert complaining about how sexist, misogynistic, and racist his jokes are when he's literally doing the Lord's work, trying to break down the patriarchy and trying to break down racism. Tell her, hey, do you not have the internet? Are you surprised by Bill Burr? Did you not know what you were getting into when you went to Bill Burr, bitch? But also, by the way, while you're wallowing in your righteous indignation, turn on the Heat Check so you can really get offended by something. Oh, yes, and follow us on social at This Heat Check and at Tristan Crick on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We will see you next time, folks. Also, give Anthony a little love. He's feeling some kind of way right now. His Lakers are down bad. You know what? I fucking love it.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.